Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us on another episode of Phantom Matters with Kenny and Quaslin. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and I have my beautiful wife sitting next to me.
Hello, everyone.
All right, and we just want to welcome you to the show on tonight. Today's date is January 27th. I'm trying to move the months quick. And the topic for tonight is surrogacy the answer? Couples dealing with infertility sometimes feel as though they are running out of time and have limited options. Although there are infertility treatments available, sometimes couples feel as though surrogacy is their only option. What are the advantages and disadvantages? What should couples know before hiring a surrogate? And what does the Bible say about surrogacy for Christian families? And what should women consider before deciding to become a surrogate? Again, thank you for joining us on tonight, Friday, January 27th, as we discuss this topic. And we will just open up the lines on tonight just to get started. We have a caller ending at 8277. You're on the air.
Hi.
Good evening. How are you?
Hey, Lily.
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're good. We're good. Thank you for calling in, madam.
Thank you.
As always, your line will be open, so feel free to hop on in and if you have anything you would like to add to the topic on tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Pastor.
You're welcome. Caller ending at 1-844. You're on the air.
Hey, Pastor Kenny. Hey, Pastor Quadron. How are y'all?
Hello, missionary. How you doing?
I'm good.
Well, that's good. That's good. You sound like you had a great day today.
Hey, I got off at 4 o'clock instead of 5. It was a good day.
Well, yeah, that's always good.
Yeah.
Well, you know your line is open, as always, and if you have anything you would like to add on to the topic on tonight, please feel free to do so.
All right, thank you.
Hello, hello. So before we get started, I want to talk about something that's going on in the news. I'm going to try to do that at the beginning of most of our shows. But anyway, I don't know if you guys heard about this or not, but there's a man in Chicago, 32-year-old, who was driving his Mercedes S500, San Hamill, or whatever his name is. Anyway, he was leaving a Cubs game, and he had been drinking. And he crashed into a cyclist and killed him. And San Hamel, whatever his name is, he was charged with aggravated DUI and reckless homicide, and he received 10 days in jail, 4 years probation, and was ordered to pay $25,000 to his victim's family for their funeral services, for his funeral services, as well as his expenses to fly to court. So, this is a Caucasian man. I'm assuming, like I told Kenny, his victim is probably Caucasian, because if not, I think we would know that, because it would have, the new media would have made sure they would have put it in there if it was, you know, somebody African American. But to me, it just seems like another example of what we consider privilege. What do you guys think about that? Have you guys heard about that?
I haven't heard about it. I'm just shocked, you know, he killed a person, only got 10 days and 4 years probation. Like we said last week, they give African Americans more time for less. So I haven't heard about it, but I mean, this is America, and the justice system is never fair when it comes to African Americans compared to Caucasians or any other race that's out there.
Right, and I guess, like I said, I'm going to assume that his victim is probably Caucasian too. And I think sometimes, because we do know that, you know, we as African Americans, we do get more time. You know, it is unfair that we sometimes forget that the privilege, and the reason I just said privilege instead of white privilege, is because you find a lot, you know, a lot of times it is white males, but also definitely white males with money. And so, you know, in this case or in other cases, if the victim is Caucasian, then there was still justice not served. You know, there are a lot of whites that don't get justice either, because they're, you know, we focus a lot on the perpetrator, but we don't think about the victims if the victim is white. And I'm sure, I could be wrong because it doesn't say, but I'm about sure if it was that, you know, if his victim was African American, the media, you know, just to get our attention, to get us riled up, then they would have said that. And it's sad that our justice system is broken that way. And I'm like, you know, I don't understand why something's not done about these judges that are doing this. It just really baffles me. So,
well,
I
can tell you one thing. A lot of the judges are voted in. So when you have your friends that are voting and you have your friends that are behind you, that they will always get in. You know, and that's another reason why people need to get out and vote, and people need to do a little bit more research on the people that they are voting into office and into the courthouses, because it happens. And these are
all
the things
time.
That we don't hear about. You know, so
right.
You need to, like, kind of go beyond what you see on the outside and get a little bit more in depth with what, you know, the person you want to vote for prior to voting for them.
You're right. We don't hear about it, and it's sad because, like I said, there are a lot of Caucasian victims, you know, and they don't get, we don't really hear about it like that because, you know, we focus a lot on African Americans because we know that we do get treated, you know, how we get treated. But I know I've seen several stories where the perpetrator has been Caucasian and the victims have been, and they have not received justice. They haven't, you know, just like the Afflewinza kid and all of this. And there's many more stories out there like that. And, you know, it's sad, just sad. We as America, we need to do better anyway. I don't know if we're going to, but we definitely should do better. Lily, did you have anything to say?
You know, I agree with what we need to pay attention to who the judges are. We are, you know, most of them are voted in. And I know a lot of people, I've heard them say, oh, well, I didn't even fill out those, you know, those boxes on the ballot. You know, they don't even, they vote for the president, you know, or the mayor, and that's it. You know, they don't pay attention to that other part, and it's just something that we need to be opening up our eyes to. There's a lot more than, you know, just the president or just the mayor or governor. We need to make sure that we help control the things that we can control. You know, we can't complain about them not being right or whatever when we don't even stop to pay attention that we can make a difference who is actually in that office. And it's also, it's just another example of letting people know, you know, you don't have any value to them. 10 days, that shows no value at all.
Right. It's sad. And Kenny looked it up, and his victim was a white guy. And that's just sad. That's really sad. And so, you know, for all the listeners, if we have any listeners out there, let's make sure we get out and vote, you know, in the local as well as the federal. Get out and vote. Get out and vote. So we're going to move on to our topic. If we have anyone listening and you would like to call in, please call 657-383-1571. Again, that's 657-383-1571 if you would like to join in on the conversation on tonight. Okay, so we're going to discuss surrogacy. Now, we know that surrogacy is an option for couples. Definitely, you know, for couples who deal with infertility. There are many couples that deal with infertility, and, you know, some are very open about it, some are pretty quiet about it, because it can be it's a hard thing, sometimes an embarrassing thing. And so we know that there are options out there. You have options such as fertility treatments and, you know, like in vitro fertilization for, you know, the less invasive ones. You have medicines, Clomid and you know, those things, injections, things like that. But for some couples, those things are not options or they don't work. You know, you have sometimes we have women that they've been diagnosed with cancer, they've had chemo, something is wrong with their uterus where they can't carry a child, or they've had a hysterectomy. And so, you know, all sorts of things out there that can happen, or they've tried these, you know, these other methods and were unsuccessful. And so sometimes couples will consider or decide on surrogacy. And there are two types. The traditional surrogate is where the biological mother is artificially inseminated with the father's sperm. So in other words, that the surrogate, she's the donor, she gives the egg, and then the male, the father, you know, they artificially inseminate her with his sperm, and she carries the baby. And the idea is that after she carries the baby, then she gives the baby over to the couple. Then there's just a gestational carrier or gestational surrogacy, and this is when a woman carries a baby for what they call intended parents. So a couple, man or woman, or, you know, man or woman, couples, they hire a surrogate and they use either the egg from the woman or a donor egg, or they use the sperm and the sperm from the father or donor sperm, and again use, you know, they use in vitro fertilization to implant the embryo. And so the woman, she carries the baby and she has the baby, and then the idea is for her to give the baby over to them after she has the baby. Now, this is a very touchy subject for some, but it has been a sign of hope for a lot of people. A lot of people, you know, have chosen this route. There are a lot of things that you have to consider when deciding whether or not, you know, you're going to choose surrogacy, such as financial cost, because the parents, the intended parents, they cover all of the expenses, doctor's appointments, you know, anything medical, all of that for the infertility doctors, they are responsible for all of those costs. So it can be pretty expensive. And in some states will allow the surrogates to also be paid. Some states will not. States will. Then there are the legality issues. One of the main things is that although the woman that's carrying the baby is not the biological mother, she is considered the mother because she's carrying the baby. So that's why they call the parents intended parents. She's considered the mother. So those are things, you know, people have to take into consideration. Of course, there are some cases where the mother may change, you know, she may change her mind, but we'll get into that as we go into, you know, get more into the conversation. Emotions, there are a lot of emotions involved. State laws. I want to make sure before anyone considers this, they check into the state. They check into the laws in that state. Some states allow surrogacy contracts, some do not, where they make a contract and, you know, everyone signs it about what, you know, stating what the intended outcome is. Then there's the consideration of whether or not, you know, the couple wants to allow a friend or a relative, choose a friend or a relative to be the surrogate, or if they want to go with someone they don't know. Some couples go through agencies, which, of course, would increase the amount that they pay out of pocket because they have to pay the agency. And then, you know, there are different requirements that they suggest you look at as far as the age of the surrogate, the health condition, whether or not she, you know, the medical condition, mental state, if she had ever given birth before successfully, and things like that. So, those are some of the things, and also if she has a support system. And there's currently no federal law in place for surrogacy. So everything goes back to the state. So the lines are open. You ladies are the only two callers on the line right now. Kenny just stepped out. I have some questions I'm going to ask in a minute, but what do you guys think about surrogacy for, you know, couples that are dealing with infertility? And you have this even for, you know, some single, you know, you have some single women who can't have children, and they may decide to go this way and get a donor, you know, get donor sperm and eggs and things like that. So what do you guys think?
I think for the option of, if you're dealing with infertility, I think it's a beautiful thing. I think it's from the point of view of, you know, the surrogate, it's like it's like the best thing that you could ever do for a person. I don't know, I think it would be the hardest thing also to do to yourself, but people are able to do it. And what really bothers me is when I see, like, the people who, oh, I don't want to mess up my body, so I'm going to have somebody else, you know, carry the baby. That kind of bothers me, because then it makes the process an in-demand thing. And then for people who do have to, like, pay, you know, to have things like this done, it drives up the cost because they know they can get more because other people are like, I don't want to mess up my body.
Right. Right. So you support it in situations where it's needed.
I do.
Where it's right, the only option. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
Right. What do you think, Mish?
Well, I mean, I have very mixed views. I believe that if you need to do it, you need to do it. But I also believe that you know, it is such a up in the air type of thing. You got to have, you know, lawyers, you know, all that money, you know, make sure that person is taken care of. All you go through all that, and they still might change their mind because, like you said, in some states, the surrogate is considered the mom all the way up until she actually signs that paperwork to say, you know, this baby is theirs. So, I mean, there's just so many iffy things. I mean, I'm not knocking the people that do it. I just know for me, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it at all. I mean, I have four kids. It is a body-changing, emotional experience. I mean, I enjoy my four that are here, but I would not do it for nobody else.
Okay. What you think, babe?
Well, if this is something that, you know, a married couple has discussed and they're okay with it, then, you know, and they're really confident in the person that they're choosing to be their surrogate, and it's simply because either he or she, she, because we're talking about the surrogate, so that means that the sperm, the egg, or the sperm will have to come from him, right? Okay.
Or a donor.
Okay, so whether it's he or she that is unable to have children for whatever reason, I mean, then by all means, you know, they do. It pretty much seems to me like just listening to it that the legal fees and you know the costs will come out to around the same that some people will actually be less than what some people are willing to spend by going to a third world country to adopt a child. I mean, because you got a lot of money that goes into that as well. But when we're talking surrogacy, I mean, if it's somebody they trust, somebody that they know is not going to, like, you know, flat out just change their mind at the last minute after they've, you know, dished out all this money to make sure this person is taken care of, then, I mean, to each is their own. But, I mean, I couldn't really see my wife doing it, you know, just for the simple fact, you know, like you said, Mish, babies they do change a woman's body, you know. For it's a beautiful thing to see a woman pregnant and to see that glow, but then, you know, I think and me just being in personal experience of child labor, I mean, women are so close to death when they in that delivery room, and it's just brutal on the body, so. I mean, it's to each their own. That's what I say.
Hey, Faye, your line is open. How you doing?
No, I believe I got the flu.
Oh.
I know. But how's everybody else doing?
We're fine.
Good.
Yeah, make sure you get some rest and
drink a lot of
liquids
orange juice.
And orange juice, and yeah, I'm doing that. Yeah, the food, no joke. But your line is open if you feel like saying anything on tonight.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. So, Kenny, you said, you know, if the couple finds someone that they are sure, pretty much, it won't change their mind. How do you know? How are you confident in that, though? How do you say that you're confident that a person that says they'll do it won't change their mind?
Well, you never can. You never can be 100% confident in it. But you know, there is an assurance, I guess, you know, to an extent, to where somebody will feel comfortable in doing things, because, you know, in life we take many risks, you know, so this could be a risk that somebody takes that could be either a low-term risk for them, or a moderate-term risk, or a high risk. I mean, we all take risks no matter what the level of risk it is. We all take them. So, I mean, again, to each their own. That's what I say.
All children need a home.
Well, yeah, all children need a home, but I guess in this situation, it's not like, you know, adopting children that are already here that are in need.
Right.
in this, you know, they're finding someone to say, will you carry, you know, will you carry my baby for me?
Right.
Now, me personally, you know, we dealt with infertility for years. I guess kind of now it still is an issue because I've lost two babies since we've been here. And that all goes together. But me personally, even when we were going through the infertility, I knew for me that surrogacy would not be the option. I fully support it, though. I support it. I think it is a beautiful gift. And some people, they're not in it for the money. Some people go in it for the money. Some people, they do it because they really just want to bless a couple that desires to have a child. You know, that's their heart. And, you know, like mine is adoption. For some people, that's their heart. And so they're willing to allow their bodies to go through those changes because they want to bless a child. They see that as their gift. Me personally, I wasn't open to it because I don't think that I would have been able to deal with the emotions that would have gone along with, because it was something, you know, that I desired to do and to actually be there and see, you know, another woman carrying, you know, my husband's baby, pretty much. I don't know if I would be able to deal with that emotionally. So what do you guys, think that would be something that you would have a hard time dealing with?
Not really, because the way that I understand surrogacy is that it is, you know, the married couple's semen and the egg, and then it is placed into the surrogate. So I don't think I would feel any type of way about that, you know, because it's basically like our DNA is just like they need a body, you know, so that they can develop and all that other stuff. So I wouldn't have a problem with like, oh, she's carrying my husband's baby. Like, you can't really look at it like that when you're going into the whole realm of surrogacy. You have to be like, okay, this person is helping me because I can't.
Right. So you're saying the way you view it would change it. That
yes.
You have to, it's the way you view it. Okay.
Right. And my thing is, if you are to the point that you've thought it over, y'all both have talked it over, shoot, y'all done spent $50,000. You shouldn't be thinking like that. You're going to patiently wait your 9 months, your 40 weeks, 42 weeks, how many weeks it takes for the baby to come out, and, you know, go ahead and get your baby, and you keep on moving.
Right. Okay. Well, that's definitely a way to look at it. Anybody? Hey, Adriana.
Good evening, Pastor.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, your line is open if you have anything to say on tonight.
Thank you. We will.
Okay. So does anybody else have anything to say? Do you think that would be a problem emotionally? Mish said no. What do you think?
You know,
Lili,
I don't think emotional. I mean, it yes and no. Because you're looking at someone who can do something that you desire, you know, and usually if you're already dealing with infertility, you're already emotional about that in the first place, that people can do something that you can't. And then now you're looking at someone who can give your spouse exactly what you've been trying to do, even though you know that they're giving you something also, there still is that, you know, kind of jealousy, envious thing where you're looking at, like, I really wanted to go through that. I thank God that I'm going to get a child, but I really wanted to do all that. And I think it is a whole emotional thing. And, you know, you do want to, because, I mean, of course, I've seen most, you know, like husbands would want to be like, oh, well, I want to be there, you know, well, can I touch your belly, you know, And that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's a whole emotional thing right there. I'm watching my husband get so happy as he's touching her because she's doing something I can't. You know, that whole thing right there is a whole set of another rules you got to deal with in, you know, just dealing with that whole emotion part right there. That's hard.
Right. Right. And see, I think that would have been hard for me. So I never even considered it. I don't know if we ever even discussed it at all, you know, because that was just never anything that I'd, you know. Oh, sorry. My sister again. She called last time. Okay. That was never anything that I thought that I would be able to handle, because you're right. It is very emotional anyway. You're very emotional, and yeah, just, and you already feel like your body's kind of turning on you and failing you and things. And so, you know, I think different things for different women. Some women are good with it, you know. And I do think that when you're going into something like that, you have to know, or at least have some idea of what you think you'll be able to handle. You know, some people don't think that they could do adoption, but that's my passion. You know, that's my husband's passion. They rather do surrogacy. So, and for them, you know, that may be the thing. So it is kind of like what would be good for you. But again, you know, I think that's a side of it that has to be, that they have to know exists, you know, not, before they go in it, know, hey, that this could possibly happen. You could feel this way, even though, yes, you're, like you said, you're getting a baby, you're getting your dreams coming true, but yet and still, you're gonna go to, you know, you're gonna go to ultrasound, you're gonna go to visits, hospital visits, doctor visits, and they're gonna be, you know, ultrasounds taken, and it's gonna be of another woman's, you know, stomach, even though it's your baby, and like you said, and they're smiling and. And it brings joy. So, you know, that is a lot to consider. We have some more callers on the line, so we're going to go ahead and open up the line for them. Hi, Evangelist. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
We're doing good. Doing good.
Good.
Glad to,
and hello, everybody.
Glad you called in on tonight. Your line is open. We look forward to hearing what you have to say.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hi, Pastor Michelle.
Hi, Pastor Kwajalein.
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. Doing good.
That's good. I'm sorry for joining today.
Oh, no, fine. Thank you for calling. Your line is open, so we look forward to your opinion on tonight.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You're welcome. Hey, Keto.
Hello, everybody. How's everybody doing?
All right,
man. Doing good. Doing good.
It's always good.
So your line is, yes. Thank God we all have health and living and breathing. So we have your line open. Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
We have your line open, so we look forward to hearing what you have to say.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. So, okay, question. What do you guys think? Do you all think it's best to use a surrogate that you know, or do you think it's best to use one that you don't know from an agency? You know, do you think that that will cause more emotional issue or less?
I think I can see the bad in both. Using a stranger, you wonder, okay, well, what habits do they have? You know, who do they have around them? You know, just different situations. You worry about what they're eating, any other type of medication, things that, you know, they're not saying that, you know, to the agency. You worry about that, and then you worry about, okay, now will they change their mind? You know, they don't really know you. They don't really know how important this is to you, or, you know, and you think, okay, well, maybe it'll make it easier for them just to say, okay, no, I can't give the baby to you because they just really don't know you. So I look at that from a stranger point of view. So then I think, okay, well, then it would be better to go with someone you know. But then also with someone you know, are they really – do they really understand that they're letting go of this baby? Once they have this baby, do they really understand they let this go? And if they have to see this baby at family reunions or holidays, are they going to be okay, or are they going to, you know, feel like they're going to be drawn to this baby like, this is my baby still?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If they become attached. And I guess that's,
right.
Well, we know it's possible for women to have babies and to not be attached or bonded. So that would be the thing, if they're able to, you know, to not become attached to this baby. Because if they do, then, yeah, it could. Yeah. Could cause some issues. You really could. Anybody else, how do you guys feel about that? A surrogate, one that you know or don't know?
I agree with what the woman just said. You know, it's like you said, you come to the family reunion and, you know, you use a family member or a friend of the family or something. You know, is this person, you know, going to, oh, you know, my baby, blah, 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 you know, or, you know, like a stranger, you don't know what they're doing. You don't know their habits. You know, and, like, I didn't see what the topic was tonight, but as soon as I heard the word surrogate, I thought about a movie that myself and my wife saw where they used an agency and a stranger, and the woman turned out to be crazy.
You
know, so
yeah, when the vow breaks,
it's a double-edged sword. Yeah,
I can't. Yeah, we've seen that. That was crazy.
Yes.
You just all you have to go with your instincts and what your gut is telling
you
at the time, and pray about it.
You talking to me, Pastor Quadrillion?
Yeah, did you mean to be on mute?
I thought you said it was on mute.
You have to take it off mute. She's so funny. Okay, go ahead, Keto. What'd you say?
I was saying, it's like, I mean, you know, you almost got to go with your instinct, you know, pray about it, you know. You got to put some serious thought to that, because either way, it could turn out wonderful, or either way, it could turn out to be the worst decision you ever made in your life. You know, so you really got to put some serious thought to that, and whether you want to go with an agency or somebody that you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's a tough one. That's truly a tough one, because you have cases where I've even, you know, heard stories, or at least one, where a mom, she did it for her daughter. So, you know, I can see feeling pretty safe with that, or a sister doing it for a sister. You know, you've seen that. Then you have friends doing it for friends, and sometimes they really turn out good. But I personally think that the laws really need to be changed, especially if you're talking about a gestational carrier. Now, when you have the traditional surrogate, that gets really iffy. When you're using the biological mother's egg and the, you know, the father's intended father's sperm or whatever, that's really, really iffy. But when you're talking about a gestational carrier, and this isn't her egg, nor is this, you know, her husband's or boyfriend's or whatever sperm, then I think we need to do better by the laws in protecting the parents of this baby, because we know all the time people have failed adoptions, and those hurt. I mean, I know it hurt when we didn't get to keep our foster kids, and some people that have failed adoptions, they, you know, go into a depression. They, you know, they feel like they literally lost the baby. And in a case where, you know, you've hired a surrogate and they actually have your egg and your husband's sperm, and this is your biological baby, you know, and then they run off and say, well, no, I'm not going to give it to you. I mean, that's horrible. I just think that would be horrible, and so that is taking a chance. And then if it's someone you don't know, they can just go anywhere, and you have no ties at all to them, and so you may never see them again. You know, so those are things to consider. So with that, I would say if you go with someone you don't know, definitely use an agency. I would definitely suggest, not that they don't have, you know, not saying that bad things don't happen with agencies, but I just think that, you know, they have the screening, you know, they screen, they've been doing it longer. And I don't know, me personally, that's just my opinion. I think that would probably be a better chance that it wouldn't end up as bad. But, you know, that's just my opinion. Okay. Should the surrogate be allowed some time to bond with the baby?
Absolutely not.
Well,
absolutely not. No.
I don't think so.
I agree. Nope. I say no.
No.
Okay, great. I love you guys. We're all on the same sheet of music.
I mean, the second woman that has carried this life, you know what I mean, for all these months, gives birth and bonds, the odds of you getting that baby are slim to none. So, no. No bonding.
Absolutely, because what I have seen and experienced with my own two eyes, my wife, and just how, you know, when you get the first bit of news, and you know, you're like, oh, I'm late, oh, I need to take a test, then you take a test. From the moment of conception, from the moment and knowledge of conception, a woman immediately falls in love. She don't even have to know what the baby looked like. She don't even have to know what the baby said is going to be at that time. She immediately falls in love with this baby, right? And we're talking that's still in, you know, the smallest of form, you know, heartbeat and everything hadn't even been produced yet. Yeah, you know, you have a living being on the inside of you. And then the moment, you know, like you said, through all of the kicks and the jumps, and the, oop, I ate something cold and now the baby's jumping. Who, you want to feel the baby moving? All of that stuff, right? The woman, she's in love from that point on. So, I mean, she's love struck. She's just like, I cannot wait to meet this little person so I can hold them and smell them and kiss them and hold and love on them. And if you do this with a surrogate, chances are, slim to none, like you said, brother, with the mom wanting to just cut ties with the baby that she's been carrying. So I say, no way.
Give me my baby. We out. Here.
But no birthday cards or anything. So everybody's in agreement on that. Okay. So it should be no. Next question, you guys. For Christian families, is surrogacy okay biblically?
I personally don't think it's okay.
Tell us why.
I don't feel like it's natural. It's not natural. I mean, God, either you're going to, I don't feel it's natural. I'll leave it there.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, it's not to the point of where, you know, a man and woman gets to see conception. Man and woman gets to see, well, actually it is to the point where man and woman gets to see conception, just as if the woman was carrying the baby. However, like you said, it's abnormal just for the simple fact that you have your husband's seed inside of another woman growing. So, yeah, that definitely is unnatural. But me personally, I think about how when Abraham and Sarah, when she was dealing with infertility, right, and how she was willing to, you know, just tell him to go out and, you know, do what he had to do, or do what he needed to do, and she wanted to give him the gift of having a child, right? And then I also think about the fact of, say again?
No, I'm saying yes, sir, right.
Oh, okay, okay, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And then I also think about the fact of how there are so many children. Like, if we even just move to the topic of just switch the topic to the next page and we start talking about adoption and look at how many children that are born that parents have not given up rights to or have legally given up rights to, and they are not being adopted and they're growing out of the system. I mean, that's unnatural, unreal too. It's astronomical too. So you know, me personally, I think that, you know, and I believe, and this is just me, saying this. I believe that God gives kids and children as a gift. They're a gift. So if God has blessed someone else's body to be able to carry a child, then and that woman is wanted and she's willfully wanted to help bless someone that actually is having a longing for having children, then by all means, let's make it happen.
And
we have one for yes and one for no. Okay, go ahead.
And I'll say for me, with the where it comes in, there were unnatural for me because we're talking about segregation where the egg is taken from the woman and implanted into another woman, right?
Right, the egg, yes, ma'am.
Yeah, okay,
mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I'm commenting on the right thing. And for me, as far as with the it being unnatural, because I do believe in adoption. I believe in adoption. I believe in foster care. And I believe, and I feel that if you are not, you know, if God did not open your womb, then it's for a reason. And maybe that reason is for you to go and adopt as many kids as you can and bring them into your world. You know, I just think it's going, for me, it's just not natural. I don't know. I just kind of disagree with it.
Okay.
So we have one yes, one no. Anybody else?
Pastor?
Ma'am?
For me, I think it does seem kind of eerie, but I think that it is one of the selfless sacrifices that a woman would do to carry another woman and a man's child for them, that they will be able to have their own. I personally, for my own personal self, would not implant my egg. However, I think it's a courageous act, the people that do it. It would feel eerie to me. I kind of sort of agree with Evangelist Suber. And then on the flip side of that, I can think the woman who's carrying another woman's child for her, for another couple, I think that's a very selfless act, and I think it's courageous.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody else? Do you think it's okay for Christian families?
Oh, for Christian families?
Yes, ma'am.
And that's where my no comes from, because it was the Christian. I say no.
I have to search the scriptures. If the scriptures tell me no, then it's a no.
Fair enough. Cool. Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything. Anybody else?
I think about the scripture that when Jacob was talking to Leah, he was talking to Rachel, and Rachel was upset. You know, she kind of came at him because she wanted a baby, and he had to let her know, I'm not God. God is the one that opens and closes wounds.
Right. Okay. All right. Anybody else? I mean, this is a good discussion. I'm
enjoying
listening to everybody before I say anything. Go ahead.
I don't know. I hesitated on answering because it.
Go ahead. No,
it's
you guys don't hesitate.
To,
it's a safe place. Go ahead, Lily.
It's hard because from the standpoint of you have so many people who I've heard so many people, different people's opinion of, okay, because you're Christian, you shouldn't do infertility meds. You know, if God doesn't want you to have a baby, then you know, if he wants you to have one, he'd give you one. He obviously doesn't want you to have one, so that's why you don't. Or you're rushing God's timing and, you know, things like that. And so that, to me, that's a typical kind of response to most Christian people's opinion, but it's also a typical opinion to Christian people who are able to have children's opinion. So I don't know. When it comes to different medical procedures, we say, okay, well, God allowed these doctors to have this knowledge. God allowed these medications to be created so that you're able to use these until he does a change, you know, or if he's going to do this change within you. He gave us this option, you know, he gave us this. So why a lot of people don't consider that when it comes to, like, infertility medication or surrogacy, I don't know. But I think surrogacy is a beautiful thing. It's a hard thing for people to do. But the ones who do it, I think, you know, they have to have, like, this beautiful heart, beautiful, you know, just to be able to do that for someone, to care enough about someone. A lot of people, they care enough about a stranger to do that. You know, that's huge. So, yeah. I don't know.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else?
What I was thinking was, yes, ma'am, what I was thinking was something along those lines, too. You know, like I honestly don't know, because you think, you know, like, I think, okay, well, why would God give these doctors the means and give their hands the abilities to do these things, you know, if they weren't to be used, you know? But then at the same time, on the opposite end of that, you know, well, why would God give those same hands the abilities to create guns to take life? You know, so it's like, I don't know. You know, like, I honestly don't. I don't know, like, I don't, you know, it's something that it's like a never ending conundrum. Like, I'll never know the answer unless I can see something in black and white that states.
Okay.
May I say one more thing?
Yes, ma'am. Go ahead.
And I'm thinking, I don't know why my brain just jumped to cloning. I know we're nowhere near talking about that, but as far as with doctors, that God has given them all these abilities and beautiful things to help so many people, but man always takes things a step forward and try to do things their way with what they think is right and what they think is, they think they're going beyond God. So let's try this and let's try that. They take their gift and they run with it.
That's true. They do that too.
That's true.
That's true. Anybody else? Nope. Okay. Well, thank you all. Me personally, I've never seen, I'm not saying there's nothing in there, but I've never seen anything in the scripture against it. I haven't seen it. If anyone sees it, if you find it, please let me know, because I haven't seen it. I know a lot of people, like my husband just brought up, Abraham and Sarah. And that's usually what people bring up concerning surrogacy when they're trying to, you know, Christians will bring that up a lot of time when they're trying to tell you that you shouldn't do it. I think the thing to remember with that story is that God had already promised Abraham, mm-hmm. you know, a son, and that Sarah was going to bear, you know, God had, that was a promise that Sarah was supposed to bear his child.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, even in that, when Hagar did have Ishmael, she, you know, Sarah had some issues, you know, there was some emotional stuff that went on there. So that is something, you know, that would could definitely be a reflection of what could happen into today's time as far as surrogacy is concerned. But when I look at that, just me, it's just my opinion, when I look at that, I look at it more as, you know, just Sarah not moving beyond, and God already had a way that He wanted to do it. That's how I see that. Just me. When I said that I wouldn't do it, it wasn't that it's not that I think there's anything wrong for Christian families to do it. Lily, I definitely understand, you know, where you're coming from as far as infertility drugs and everything, and when you're dealing with the infertility and how it is sometimes people that haven't dealt with it that, you know, are usually against it, because I dealt with that. When I got pregnant with the twins, I was on infertility drugs. Jared is a infertility drug baby. But the thing about it was, when I got pregnant with the twins, I was so open about using infertility drugs. I let people know and this. And so when they died, these people that knew that, they actually, there were, you know, two or three people that actually brought that back up and kind of, you know, threw that up in my face, like, well, that's probably why they died, because you tried to go before God and take it out of God's hands, and God doesn't need any help.
Wow.
I did that. Kenny just walked out, but he could definitely, you know, he could definitely vouch for that. But I was just telling him how when the twins died, how, you know, I heard that it was because of the infertility drugs. You know, God doesn't need any help in this. And so it was kind of, people made it seem like I was being, like, we were being punished because, we were moving out of desperation, moving too fast, and because of that, they died, and it was kind of like a punishment because we were moving before God. And so then when I got to Germany, I took infertility medicine with me, and I took my infertility medicine, but I only told, you know, a few of my close friends that I knew supported us and that they were praying for us. And of course my mom, you know, and that they were praying for us. And Jared was conceived and born. And it's so funny because some of those same people still don't know that I use fertility drugs. And so, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, look at God. But they had no idea that I still use fertility drugs. So sometimes, you know, we really do have to be, you know, I definitely understand what you're saying, you know, Lily. And it's like, when you are going through that, sometimes you do feel desperate. You know, honestly, you know, you do feel desperate. You because you get tired of feeling what you're feeling. And it's like, it doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how much you read the Bible. It doesn't matter how much you believe. When you have that yearning and you have that desire and that thing is burning on the inside of you, you know, and it's not going anywhere, and I'm not just talking about for infertility, it can be the same thing for, you know, if you want a spouse or whatever, you know, it's hard. It's really hard. And so when you're dealing with that and you have those options, you know, a lot of people will look into those options. So, again, for me, I don't think there's anything biblically wrong with it. If I had a family, you know, Christian family that decided to do it, I would definitely support it. Again, for me, it wasn't the way to go. I couldn't do it because just emotionally, I don't think I could handle it. But I definitely would support another couple because I've been there and I understand, you know, where that takes you. So that's my take on it. One more question before we talk about our health topic of the night. What should happen if the child is disabled? So the embryo is planted. And keep in mind, sometimes, you know, you have some women or some couples, they only have a limited amount of embryos. And sometimes they take their last one. I know that's how it was on that movie. That was their last chance. And so they implant it, and they're excited because she gets pregnant, and then the baby, you know, the baby's disabled or something. And you've had cases where, you know, some of the parents, they don't want the baby anymore. And so I've seen one where they left the carrier with the baby. So what do you guys, I mean, do you think that the states should step in on that? What do you guys think in a situation like that?
That is one of the differences, I'm assuming, between using an agency and using a friend. Because I'm sure if you use an agency, there will be, you know, some sort of legal binding agreement in place. Whereas if you just use your friend, I mean, at that point, you know, nobody knows what could happen. You know, and it will be wrong because the only person who really gets hurt is the person who didn't ask to be here in the first place.
Right.
You know, so I don't know. That's just messed up all around. There is no really good answer for that.
Right. A hard one, something to consider.
You know, I think about how when people who most people have exhausted all other avenues before they get to this point. And if your heart is really that you want a child and that's really your desire, you know, you get to a point where, you know what, I could love a child that wasn't mine, that's adopted, you know, because I want children. And if your heart can go to that point, then why couldn't your heart go to a point where even if there is a disability with this child, I'm going to love this child because God still blessed me with a child. You know, I think it goes to the heart of why this person wants this child, because no matter what's going on with this child, it's yours. And, you know, the people who really desire a child would say, no matter what, it's mine. It's my baby. That's it.
Right. And you really should look at it as if you are the carrier. That's how I think. If you're going to do that, you know, with a gestational carrier, then that's how you should, you know, you should look at it, especially when it comes out to what's going on with the baby. But that's just my opinion. Anybody else? What do you guys think?
Well, when it comes to just the question itself, I think in all honesty, we should look at the fact that there is a life that was that God allowed to come into the world that we have to care for, you know. And there are times where people have to deal with the fact of you know, raising a child that's disabled or has a problem when it comes to, like, you know, being able to walk and things of that nature, or not being able to see or being able to hear. But that human being, that baby, still has a heart that pumps blood just like ours does, and that baby was given the opportunity to live. So in doing that, I think that the parents should definitely consider taking the baby and raising the baby. And that's just my take on it. Now, I understand, you know, that raising a kid that has a disability is tough because, you know, you have to think about hospital visits and surgeries, and it's very time consuming. But, you know, here we are, human beings that came into a world of sin. And yet, you know, before we were even conceived in the womb, God knew that we would have problems with sinning. You know, and what I'm gonna bat that home with saying this: when we came into the world, God gave us a chance because He allowed us to come into the world. And once this baby is here, that baby deserves the opportunity to have a good quality of life, regardless of his or her disability.
And I think that, you know, it's important to discuss those things if someone decides to get a surrogate. Also, you know, if you're in a state where you can have the surrogacy contract, you want to make sure you outline those type of things in there too. Because, again, if you're, you know, in a place where the carrier is considered the mother and the couple you know, they're just considered the intended parents, and then she has the baby and something's wrong, then she has the rights at that point to make the decisions concerning the baby, whether the baby, you know, if the baby's put on life support, what can be done to the baby. So there's a lot of different things that could kind of go, you know, go on there, which would make it complicated. So those are things that, you know, we definitely want to discuss. And, you know, the sad thing is, Lily, like you were saying, you know, it should be pretty much talking about the heart and everything, and it should be that way. But, you know, now, like Evangelist was talking about how man is taking it so far. Do you guys know they're trying to make it, or they either have it now where, like, you can tell if it, I think they're trying to come up with some procedures where you can tell, like, if there's some issues with the embryo or something like that, so they can dispose of them. And, you know, it's just like,
they have the option. So, yes, if you're doing, like, infertility, whatever, you can choose. Okay, if you want a boy or a girl, you can choose the different, you know, genes within them, so that, oh, we see that in your family you have a gene for a heart attack or whatever. We can take that all out of this child. You know, it's like making the perfect child. They now can do that. They know which genes are, which whatever, control everything, and they can take out these different things.
Now, see, now that is the Evangelist. See that kind of stuff right there. That's really what she was talking. Yeah, we just don't took that way too far. You know what I'm saying? Now that kind of stuff scares me. It makes me think of some type of scary movie or something. But anyway, you know, so some people that's what they want. They want a perfect child, and that's why some people won't even, you know, even if they're dealing with infertility, they won't consider adoption, because they, you know, some people want a mini me. That's how they feel. You know, I can't pretty much love anything that's not coming from me or mini me. And so although we do have all of these kids out there that need a home, you know, that's just not what some people are open to. And that's not the case for everybody. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying some people, and I know because I've had that conversation with some people. So that's how some people think. Anyway, it's been a great, great conversation on tonight. I appreciate everyone and their, you know, their thoughts and their opinions, and I just love it. I love it. And that's, I'm glad this is a safe place so we can all come in, voice our opinions, what we think, you know, think about the topics, and you know, we look at it from different views, and that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So I want to go over this real quick, and then I'm just going to give, I guess, a couple announcements or a few announcements. Glaucoma, this is Glaucoma Awareness Month, so you guys make sure you get your eyes checked once or twice a year. Some people's twice a year if you have good, you know, if you don't have any issue. I mean, not twice a year, sorry. Once every 2 years is what I'm trying to say. If you don't have any issues, it's, I think, once every 2 years. Kenny, you all have to go with every year.
Yep.
You know, if you do have some issues, then, you know, make sure you're getting your annual checkup. Glaucoma, it causes damage to your the optic nerve in your eyes, and it gets worse over time. Sometimes there are no symptoms, you know, early on, and sometimes you won't get symptoms until there's already been damage, you know, a great amount of damage. And when you have damage to that nerve from glaucoma, then there is, you know, you cannot regain that vision. It can't be recovered. So, you know, it's important that we have our eye exams, make sure we're doing that. It can occur at any age. You know, some things we think, oh, you know, it's only when we get older, but that's not true. It can occur at any age. And if for those of us who are 40 and over, and we have a family history, then it's definitely important that we get our eye exams. And I'm about to be 40, you guys. And my son thought I was just so funny because I said I was going to turn up for my 40th birthday, whatever that means. But anyway, turn up doing something. Not drinking no alcohol. Some my neighbor tells me that I'm going to turn up with her taking a nap. But I thought that was funny. But I thank God. I pray that I can, that I live to see it. I truly, truly do. I ask that you all keep Kyra and her family in prayer. Her youngest daughter is not feeling well. Not going to go into details, but I ask that you keep her daughter in prayer. Her name is Ayani. So please keep them in prayer. And also Jeremiah, he's scheduled to have surgery, so I pray that you guys keep him in prayer as well. We're not sure of the day yet, but hopefully we will know next week. And so we'll keep you guys informed. Again, I'm looking for some people to help me co-host so we can keep the show going. When Kenny leaves, he'll be going to Korea for a year. The kids and I will be going to Georgia. And I know it's a month away, but I want to go ahead and put it out there now so somebody can start thinking. You know, Lili has already offered to help. So, hopefully somebody will be willing to help me do some, you know, co-hosting or whatever so we can keep it going, praying that the show really grows. And I don't want to stop it because he'll be gone. He will be able to join in on Friday nights because it'll be Saturday there. But, hopefully we can still keep everything going. So just ask that you guys pray for us as we prepare for that transition and everything. But that is all I have to say on tonight. Love you guys. Thank you all for calling. And everyone have a wonderful weekend.
You too. Have a good weekend. God bless you.